feel better now. If you was wondering why I didn't have no shoes on, well, it's muddy out at my house today, and I walked around the front and down in the bar ditch there and washed my feet as much as I could trying to get in to get all the mud off, and still was bringing mud in. And our good sister Pam works really hard trying to keep these floors clean, and I don't know if you guys know it or not, but you keep the women of the house happy, then everything goes good for you. So you definitely don't want them upset at us. So very pleased with our help that we have here at the congregation for sure. Also, Thurman, thank you for your songs that you've selected this morning and also tonight. I always appreciate you. Tonight, it's been a blessing so far today. It's been kind of cloudy all day, but it's also rained for us, and that's been a blessing because we've been asking God for it to rain, and it has. He's brought it to us, and it's such a nice, pleasing day for us. It's been a great day. We also had a baptism this morning. We have a new sister in Christ, Grandma, which is Patty Josie's mother. So if y'all don't know who Grandma is, so very, very much a blessing. Let's get started with our lesson this evening. We're going to be in Philemon. Philemon is the book we're in. And here in Texas, I'm pretty sure we'd have just called him Phil. So it would have been a lot easier for us to remember how to say that. And I may be pronouncing it wrong myself right now. So Philemon. And it's not a very long book. It's really pretty short. Let's go start with verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother. He recognizes himself as being in chains, in prison, for Jesus. And he says, and Timothy, our brother. So he's talking to Philemon and he's explaining to him that our brother Timothy. I just mentioned that we have a new sister in Christ. She is our sister in Christ now. That's amazing. It's awesome and it's wonderful. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. To Aphia, our sister. To Archippus. It kind of sounds like it should be Archippus, but it's Archippus is how his name is pronounced. Our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Now, I can't find a whole lot about these two. It is said that Aphia is most likely Philemon's wife. Possibility that she could be his sister, but I feel like it's probably his wife. And Archippus, a fellow soldier, it's a young man growing up and being, so if you're older, you're more of a commander and you're a soldier when you're younger. And I feel like he's his son. Myself, that's just me, could be his brother. But just from what I've found and what I've looked at, this is kind of how I feel just with the reading. Now, we're looking at Philemon. He has prominence, I guess you can say. He's wealthy enough to have a nice home. He's wealthy enough to have a slave that he owns. He's wealthy enough to be able to have the prominence in the town to be and have a home big enough, I would say, to offer his house as a for the congregation to come and meet, so as a worship place to worship God. He says, because we know that because he says, until the church meets in your home. Grace to you, peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Philemon was a member or a leader in the church at Colossae, and he offered his house as this place of worship for the church to meet. I like the way that Paul presents his beginnings of it. I love verse 3 the most of all. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So all things come from God is what he's saying to us to start with. We need to recognize that and understand that and see where he's at. Now, we look at Paul's letters that he usually writes and we look at how he begins, and most of them has thanksgiving and prayer in most of his letters. For sure, we have that in the Ephesian letter, and we have that in the Colossian letter that he wrote, and we have it here in Philemon's letter that he's wrote here. So And it's very important for us to look at how he is. Now, while Paul writes these letters, he's in prison. So when you think about him being thankful and giving prayers, think about it as being in prison. When we think about being imprisoned or being in prison, we understand that being in prison means incarcerated, taken away from your normal self, where you're free, you're able to go do whatever you want to, when you want to. When you're in prison, you have this loss of freedom. You can no longer go and come as you wish. Someone else tells you when and where and how and everything that you can do. And you have to abide by what they say. So you lose all privileges of anything when you're in prison. Now, prison's also designed for rehabilitating someone. It's taking bad out of someone and turning it to good is what prison was originally there for. Not for just the punishment for somebody, but also to rehabilitate someone also. It is a punishment for you to lose your freedoms and lose your rights, but also it is to rehabilitate you and to give you a new self to try to grow and prosper and be able to do something, be a functioning member of society is what I'm trying to say here. So for one to be sentenced in prison, he or she would have to live outside of the laws. Now, we are to be like Paul no matter what the earthly laws. We should live to please God rather than man. And to be happy and satisfied no matter the outcome. Because when you look at Paul and see how he is in all of his letters, you see that prison cannot change Paul's heart. Prison cannot rehabilitate Paul because Paul has been imprisoned for the wrong reason. He's been accused of something that he did nothing wrong. And his heart has already been changed on the day that he was walking down the road in Damascus and Jesus came to him. And then 3 days later, he said, "Get up and be baptized." And when he became a member of Christ, that's the day that his heart was totally changed and it couldn't be nothing else for him. And that's what he did the rest of his life, is he put God first in his life no matter where he was or what he was doing. Verse 4, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ." It's not just that he has in Christ or that I have in Christ, it's we. You see, it's not just you by yourself or me by myself. It's us. We're a family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Apostle Paul is pointing this out and making it plain for Philemon to understand. He says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Isn't that a blessing? Someone to tell you, "You, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. You, sister, have refreshed the hearts of the saints by the kind act of kindness that you give today or yesterday or last week or whatever it is." His blessings to us are overflowing when we read his scripture, when we read his word. Turn with me, please, to 1 John. I'm going to put my notebook in here for my wife. For Philemon, "You will do great today," she says to me. 1 John, and thank you for that also. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." To be a child of God means that God supplies you and God takes care of you fully. And how does God supply us and how does he take care of us fully? Through the scripture, we understand that Jesus Christ came into this world and died for our sins. Jeff just told us that he's going to continue to carry that burden of sins until the day that he comes back for us. And then it's no longer going to be there. What a blessing and what an honor that is that God loves us that much that He lavished on us that gift of love, which is Jesus Christ, pouring out everything from His body for us. It's a great feeling, and it's great to think that we are children of God. Now, as children of God, God supplies us with what we need, what gifts we need, what food we need, whatever we need while we're here on earth. Because we know as when you're a young child, you look to your mother, you look to your father, and you look for help, you look for guidance, you look for this, you want this. And you learn to ask and ask and go get, and you whine and do whatever, and He always supplies for you. God supplied for us Jesus Christ. And He supplied for His children exactly the same. He didn't vary from one to the other. He gave everyone the same gift. Isn't that amazing? All the children that God has, and He gave everyone the same gift. John 3:16 is our next scripture. John, regular John 3:16. Let me get over there to it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. If God is willing to sacrifice His one and only Son for me, I'm going to put myself in this instead of y'all. You put yourself in it, or you put us as a group in it, however you would like to. If God is willing to sacrifice His only Son for me, I'm willing to leave my comfort zone to live in His name. I'd like you to think about that, and I'd like you to say that to yourself. I'm willing. Not will I be willing, but I am willing to leave my comfort zone and do that. That is just what the Apostle Paul has done, isn't it? He's left his comfort zone. I'm sure his comfort zone wasn't in prison. I'm sure it wasn't comfortable for him. I'm sure that wasn't the thing that he thought would be the greatest thing in his life. But he always gave thanks for everything that he had. Very important for us to understand the thanksgiving that we get from the Apostle Paul's life that he's lived through Jesus Christ. Let's move on to Philemon verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold in order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. Onesimus is Philemon's slave. And it never says that Philemon treated him bad, that he was a bad person. He did anything to harm Onesimus. I couldn't find anything. Onesimus just didn't like the fact of being called a slave, is what I feel like, and he ran away. But when he ran away, he stole stuff from his master. And his master was Philemon. Philemon had bought and paid for him. Now, in this time, that happened a lot. There was slaves all over. And we think of that and we go, well, that's just cruel that they had a slave. Oh, my goodness, what will we do? Onesimus learns a valuable lesson in this, and so does Philemon, about slavery. Onesimus' life was worth nothing in this time in Rome. A slave was considered to be worth absolutely zero. He had no status of any kind. He couldn't own his own home, he couldn't own property, and he couldn't have a wife, he couldn't be married, he couldn't have children. He was worthless. And that's why Paul used the word useless. For he was useless to you at one time, but now he is both useful to me and useful to you, is how he put it. And the reason that Paul uses these words is because Onesimus means useful. That is the meaning of his name, useful. Onesimus never knew that his name was useful. And he had never been taught that he was useful in his life. And that he could have freedom through Jesus Christ until he came to Paul. How he got there, who seen him, what it was. There's several different sayings that so-and-so brought him, so-and-so saw him in Rome. Rome was a place where fugitives went to hide because it was so big and they couldn't be seen because there was just so many people there. So they could kind of hide out amongst all the people. Obviously he was seen. Maybe he went on his own back and heard that Paul was there and went to go talk to him because he had obviously heard the Apostle Paul's words before. Needless to say, he went, and when it was all said and done, we look down and we find out that Onesimus was once useless, but now he is useful because he is a brother in Christ, as you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ at this time. So somewhere in here, he became baptized into Jesus Christ and became one of us. That's important for us to know. Paul is utilizing this and telling Philemon. He says, Paul uses words like, before he was useless, but now he's become useful to both you and me. We understand that Onesimus means useful, and that slave standards are as low as one can possibly get. Down to zero. Turn over with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. He says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Social class means nothing to Jesus Christ, does it? We heard earlier that Jesus Christ, or God, gave the same gift to everyone, and that is the gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. The same gift. And social class doesn't apply in this. It doesn't matter if you're a slave. It doesn't matter if you have bundles of money, or if your name has been prominent throughout time of this or that, or if nobody knows who you are when you pass away but God. It does not matter, is what he's saying. Christ died for all of us. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as you are working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Quit worrying about what's happened to you. Quit worrying about why you're being punished here. Quit worrying about the things that are going on in your life, is what he's telling him. He says, it doesn't matter. The ones that are doing wrong will be repaid for the wrongs that they do. But you live your life while you're here. If you have to be in prison, you be happy about it, as if you were serving time for Jesus Christ. You remember what Paul said? Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, as if he was serving time for Jesus Christ, is what he's doing. It's lovely the way the scriptures come together and they pull in. So he says, slaves, obey, not only when your master is watching you. And it's the same for us. We're not supposed to be good only when some of our brothers and sisters are around. Only when we're here together meeting in the congregation. We're to be good always outside. everywhere, everything we're doing, whether it's at work, whether it's when we're playing golf, whether it's when we're doing whatever it may be we're doing. We are to be the same as we are here, because God sees all and knows all and is all. And we need to understand that and comprehend that. Stay in Colossians there, chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, provide for your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. No matter who you are, it doesn't make no difference at all. You're going to face Jesus Christ someday. Everyone is going to be pulled to Him someday. And you will face that master in heaven. So He says, masters, provide for your slaves what is right. Take care of your slaves. This is beneficial for who in this story we're reading? Philemon. Very beneficial for Philemon in this story. We are all slaves. We're slaves to sin, or we're slaves to righteousness. One or the other. Everyone is a slave. Onesimus didn't know that when he left. But after Paul talked to him and they studied and they worshiped together, he understood that he was being a slave to something terrible instead of being a slave to God, something good. Philemon chapter, verse 12, sorry. I'm sending him who is my very heart back to you. He's explaining to him how much he means to him, especially now that he is a brother in Christ. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced upon you. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. I want you to imagine yourself this slave, Onesimus. I want you to imagine having a status of zero. Nothing. Being worth nothing. Being told to go back to your master when you know you stole from him and you've deserted him. And I want you to take him a letter, knowing that the outcome may be death for you. Most of the time, that's what they did to the slaves when they got them. They said, oh, we found this one over here. He left out. And they murdered them. They beheaded them most of the time. They hung them. They killed them. Whatever ways and means they had. Turn with me, please, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. You see, Onesimus is in Christ now, and we know how he was able to take this letter and go hand it off. Because he was able to go because he had love in him now. And love that's made perfect is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is perfect. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives away fear, because fear has to do with punishment. That's when you was a sinner before. He's no longer a sinner, and he has this. Also, you can look to Philippians 4 and verse 13. It tells us that I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Paul gives his brother Philemon the opportunity in verse 14 to make a sound decision in real time without influence from anything. I want to ask you again, what would our reaction be if we were in Philemon's shoes? What would our reaction be when the slave comes back to our house and says, I'm back. I was told to come here and see you. How would we treat him? What would we do? Turn back with me. Let me see if I read that real quick. Oh, go to Colossians 4. I don't think I read that. Go back to Colossians 4 in verse 7. I think I skipped that. Let me see for you. Colossians 4 in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Two letters that God sent. This one to the Colossians, and also the one to Philemon at the same time. These two men were sent, the Apostle Paul. And that's how we know that this is true, that he actually went. But look how he expresses his love again. He says in verse 9, he is coming with Onesimus, and look what he says about him, our faithful and dear brother who is one of you. No longer is Onesimus a slave worth nothing. He is worth something. He is useful now, isn't he? It's amazing how much God does for us and how he lifts us up and builds us up and gives us the strength and the courage that we need to survive in this cruel world that we live in. Go with me to back to Philemon, please. Verse 12. I am sending... No, sorry. 17. Verse 17. I'm sorry. Verse 17. He sees already... said, I'm sending him who is in my very heart to you. And we've already read back that he's actually sent him. So we know from Colossians that he sent him. So if you consider me a partner, he says, welcome him as if you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord, refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than what I ask. And one more thing, prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. I like the way Paul says, if he's done anything to you or he owes you anything, charge it to me. That is Jesus. Like all our wrongs were charged to Jesus is kind of how you can put that. Everything that we've done wrong, we've charged it to Jesus. And he's kind of putting that bluntly to Philemon, saying, even if he stole from you, it doesn't matter. So if it bothers you that he took something from you, charge it to me. I'll take care of it. It's not a problem. Take him in and love him and care for him. What kind of message is this to take this slave and allow this slave to be a brother in Christ, to call him brother instead of slave, instead of, hey, you, hey, it, man, come here, get over here, snap your fingers and tell him to come. What kind of message is that we're showing as being a Christian? This is an awesome message that you're being able to see here. He says, if you consider me a friend, welcome Onesimus as you would welcome me. Turn with me, please, to Luke. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37, we're told, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." What we do in this lifetime matters. What I say and what I do makes a difference. What would I do in either one of these men's shoes? I ask myself, what would I do if I was Onesimus? What would I do if I was Philemon? What would I do if I was the Apostle Paul? How would I act? How would I conduct myself? Go to Mark. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 42. "If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck." Onesimus is a little one. Onesimus is a new child of God. He is a baby in the Word. He's fresh into it. We have a sister that just become fresh into the Word. If we run and we do things negative and wrong and we speak harshly to those people, if we treat them with disrespect and dishonor, they're going to run from it, the Word. And it would be better for us to have a millstone tied around our neck and thrown into the ocean in the depths than it would if we'd done something like that. So it does matter how we judge and how we treat other people. It is very important for us to look at this. How can we ask Jesus to forgive us if we're not willing to forgive others when they do something that has wronged us, that has hurt us, or when they have shown disrespect to us? We proclaim Jesus Christ through our actions and our deeds, the way that we live our lives. It's very important for us to live in a proper way, daily, not just sometimes. Last scripture is James. James chapter 1. I got one getting tired of listening to me back there. James chapter 1, verse 22. James says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." He says, do what it says. "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Isn't Paul a great example of listening to the Word and doing what the Word tells us to do? Living through Christ no matter what the circumstances are. He's a beautiful example for us to live through. And he presents a beautiful message to Philemon to teach Philemon to continue on and to be that godly man that he's expecting him to be. We realize that there is no social class in heaven. God loves all of his children the same, and God gives the same gift to all of his children. Philemon learned that he is no better than his slave, that he has to answer to his master also, that he has to forgive in order to be forgiven, that he has to make sound decisions, real-time decisions, that God has put a slave in front of him that the world said was useless and not worth anything, and that he was given the opportunity to accept him as a brother in Christ instead of a slave, to show that our master is God in heaven and not a master here on earth as an individual. You are no better than someone else. He gave him the opportunity and the choice. And I asked you, what would you do? What would I do in that situation? Imagine what happens when we disagree with God and we don't take His side when He presents us with that. When we're presented with the opportunity to baptize someone and it's 20 degrees outside and the only water is the creek behind my house, and we say, nah, too cold today. We better pass. And they die tomorrow. Who's responsible? We lost that opportunity. He has a great opportunity here to do something spectacular in the world, to proclaim God through Jesus Christ. He's giving this opportunity through a slave that is said to be worth nothing. Our master is God, and we do not want God to look at us as useless. We want God to look at us and say, hey, He's useful. Onesimus learned you can't run away from God. We're all slaves. That being a slave to God is not a burden, but a pleasure. And that there is no fear in love, that through Jesus you can overcome anything. And you have all the freedoms that you need anywhere. We learned that Paul was a prisoner being held captive, but he was happy and praising God for it. I'm sure that that helped Onesimus to understand that he was useful. Through our faithfulness to God, we have in store for us a new home, a new heaven, where we will be the same, all of us, to live eternity with our Lord and Savior. There won't be so-and-so the poor guy, so-and-so the rich guy, so-and-so the big guy, so-and-so the small guy, so-and-so who can't keep their mouth closed, so-and-so that never says a word. Everybody's the same in this place, because that's what God has instilled for each of us. The story behind Onesimus is a classic picture of one who tries to run from God and a good and gracious master, as was Philemon to him. He wasn't harmful to him. He didn't hurt him. He didn't do things. He didn't beat him. But he tried to run away from him and ends up going right back to him. And we utilize that ourselves as we try to run away from God always. But we always wind up back in His arms again. He's got His arms wide open waiting for us to come back in these ways. Imagine if the Apostle Paul said, I'm not going to take time with you to go back. When God expects Onesimus to be back in the arms of Philemon, and Onesimus and Paul says, nah, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do that right now. He was glad to teach him. He was glad to preach the gospel to him. So through salvation, the fugitive sinner, he finds grace, he finds forgiveness, and he finds the freedom that is found only in Jesus Christ. For we know we are all slaves, either slaves to sin or slaves to Christ, we have learned. We're taught to treat others the way that Christ treats us. No matter our background, what we have, how much we have, what our names are, that doesn't matter anything to God. What He does look for is His presence in us. In Matthew 3 and verse 17, after Jesus was baptized, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I am well pleased. When Christ is seen through my actions, when Christ is seen through your actions, when Christ is seen through the actions of Christians in this world and their deeds, God is well pleased. Isn't that something amazing that we need to understand, that we need to remember? That through the way that we live our lives, God looks down upon us and He says, this is my Son. Because if you're a brother to Jesus Christ, you are a son of God, or you are a daughter to God. And that is just an awesome feeling, and it's an awesome message that we have in that short book of Philemon. You could talk for about 3 weeks preaching on that, and I tried to make it go through the best that I could to just show exactly what the story is about. It's about God utilizing individuals to proclaim His Word through Scripture. And He shows us how we can live and how we can act and what we can do in any circumstance, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter how prominent you are, as Philemon was, or how low you was, as Onesimus was, or if you was imprisoned, falsely accused. He's there with you, and He's taking care of you. If anybody has any wants and needs, if you just need prayers, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that Thurman has chosen for us.